Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, and I'm here in Bangor at the Dunkin' Donuts with Donna Dion, who's running for governor for the state of Maine. Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm good.
Great.
So, let me just ask you to start. Why do I want to vote for Donna?
I think once you get to know who I am, and you know my background, I'm 58 years old. I have 40 years of work experience. But I think the key thing is that I always feel like I have a purpose. There's something out there I need to do. And when I looked at some of the problems that we're having throughout the state, I felt, you know what, I can take all of my 40 years and apply it in various areas and pull people together. And I think what the state needs is leadership. And so my husband and I talked about this for 4 years. And knowing my goal of always trying to go out there and do something positive, he said, I think this is what you should do. So I threw my hat in, I looked at what I could do, and I said, yes, this is a positive thing, I need to do this.
Okay, I'm going to assume that you think jobs is the number one problem.
It is. How I want to address it is probably different than some of the other individuals.
And can you talk about that?
Yes, I think education is important. But education, not the K through 12 scenario, it broadens. It has to be broader than that. If you look at early education and preparing the kids, you look at education, getting our children ready for college, but also education in the sense that we need to retrain our displaced workers. And I think in that way, we can take money and reallocate and use it more effectively from the state to entice our companies to grow in all the areas of our state, and also to lure new businesses within our state by indicating to them that we're willing to take money and train the workforce. So it makes it cost effective for them to come into our state. So yes, jobs are important. How we get there may be a little different than some of the other individuals who might have a different approach. My approach is to have a strong workforce. We are very proud people throughout the state. And I know people in Franklin County, Washington County, Aroostook County. We are proud people who say we work, we roll up our sleeves, and we're not afraid of anything. So why don't we give them the skills, retool, retrain, and prepare. So we need to get our kids ready for school. We need to give them opportunities to go to college and prepare themselves to stay within the state. And at the same time, retool, retrain our displaced workers so that they can regain a decent income and get money back circulating into the Maine economy.
I think you've hit on a really good point, that re-education for people who are displaced. A lot of those jobs aren't going to, a lot of things that people do aren't going to be happening anymore here. So I understand that, but where would you get that money?
Well, I think for one of the things I've done in the past, for 5 years I was a volunteer for the Coastal County Workforce Board. There's four of those boards. There's a lot of money that enters into the state to be used for retraining. It's called the Work Investment Act. It's federal money. And I saw how we utilized it in evaluating what was going on with the Brunswick Air Force, our Air Force Station and the individuals going and being the base closing and the individuals being relocated. And I also work with the career centers. And I worked for a year for Northeast Technical Institute, which did training for people to get jobs. So I looked at all the money, and that wasn't because I was researching it. It was right in front of me. You know, people were coming in with money that was being reallocated by the state, and I'm saying, why did you choose this profession? I was trying to get them into professions where jobs were available, and they would come in and say, oh, I would like this commuter class, and I would like this. They chose what they wanted, which was not necessarily what was needed. So let's be more stringent with our money and allocate it to people who can be trained into jobs that we know that businesses will have. We need to connect businesses. We got to be more business friendly. We need to work with them so they can look at the employees they need and say, what do they need? And take the money that exists. It's not like we have to go out and do more taxes. It's looking at what exists and utilizing it better to train those people ready for positions they could get.
So you're talking about federal money that comes to the state is the one that figures out where it goes?
Actually, it's allocated to organizations. As I said, there's four segments, and the one on the coastal county-wise, they opted to be a nonprofit organization. They are overseen by the government. The governor does sign the plan. That's federal money. But above and beyond that, when I looked at the federal money money coming out of the Career Center, which was state money, you put that together in each region, and they collaborate to be more effective rather than everyone must do their own thing. It's sort of the same old, same old. I'm territorial, and I'm not telling you what I'm doing, but, you know, we're all doing the same thing for the same reason. I think there needs to be better communication, and that's why we need a governor who has leadership. Do I have all the answers? No. But I have ways of pulling people together, and I think that's important. And I've proven that in past jobs, part of my 40 years. 12 years, I worked for Time Warner. I was in the Portland area before there was Wires. I organized the business organization. And we put that together. And then I happened to be really good at doing that stuff. And so when I got the business running, I hired people. I want you to know everything I know because I don't want to keep it. It's not territorial. Like I said, I'm not going to keep it for safeguarding myself. I want to learn something else. So I got really good. So Time Warner would ask me if I would go to other locations. I was going all over the country, launching new services or helping them troubleshoot because they were having problems. They were going down the hole. They couldn't keep track of what was going on. So I'd enter a place totally with strangers. One person, the organizations could be really large. In 2 weeks, I needed to talk to these people. I needed to know what the problems were. I needed to know how we resolve them. That's my skill. That's what makes me different. I don't have to do the same thing repetitively because it should change because people are different. So any part of our state could be any part of our country. What they have for resources and what their needs are, north, south, east, or west of Maine, is dependent on what the people have. You know, what do you have for resources? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to do? You know, and lots of times people feel like they're on the outskirts. So people would make a recommendation. I could come in and say, gee, I have an economic development plan, okay, and come in and say, this is what we're going to implement. Well, first of all, you're all going to go, you know, everyone's going to put their arms up in arms. I don't care if it was in my hometown. They'd say, what gives you the right? You represent me. You don't replace me. And so we work for them. What they're doing is hiring someone who has the leadership ability to communicate, to find the resources, to network and bring them into that area to satisfy their needs. So one size fits all does not fit. And so that's what I look at. That's what I saw. And I said, wait a minute. We keep hitting ourselves against a brick wall. And what do those people want? You know, and they say, well, Donna, what's the answer? The answer isn't me. I have the results. I can give you the answers to everything. I have a purpose. A purpose is, what do you need? How can we work with that? People have to get out of behind a desk. People have to go back and start being with the people. I think we have a lot of natural resources. We have all kinds of resources out there. And I think each community said, if we had, we could do. Well, I want to see, what is that? You know, I don't care if we're in blueberries or cranberries or potatoes or tourism or skiing or winter activity. Everyone has ideas of how we could enhance, how we could pull new people, how we could pull new revenue. And that's what we need for a governor. You know, and sometimes say, well, what do you want to be governor? Just be economic development. No, as governor, no one can shut a door in my face. Okay?
Right.
I can get answers. I can look at what we're doing with our money. No door is going to get closed in my face. I can say, you have to be accountable. You have to step up to the plate. And so people in the state of Maine, we try to do everything and we pull it close to us and each department doesn't necessarily talk to each other. So like there's a lot of things. And people said, well, you're all over the place. I said, well, I'm not all over the place. I'm actually trying to look at big pictures. If a governor is only focused on one situation, then that's tunnel vision. That's isolation. And so we don't get the best effective way of using our resources. And the people in each area have ideas. So let's go back to them and use them. Look at what we're spending for monies to travel all over the place. It's needed in some aspects. We need to get that information. We need to pull it in. But I don't necessarily want another country coming in and saving us. I think we need to save ourselves. And we're quite capable. You know, we're not drowning. We're having a hard time. But I think we're afloat. And so my outlook is taking those resources and looking at the funds we have, better utilizing and being more accountable, minimizing the different levels that we have operating our state, and put it more into making it effective in each county, each town. How do we consolidate their efforts and make it more affordable and get people trained, get new businesses there, and have less barriers where people say, no, not here, not in my backyard. Well, what do you want in your backyard? You're complaining, we need help. I, for one, am tired of pointing fingers. I decided it's time to roll up my sleeves and do something. And so I think that's how we're going to do it.
Okay. Well, just to back up, you said a few minutes ago, we need to be more business friendly. How do we do that? How do we entice businesses to come here?
Well, I think you look at all the regulations, you know, and you do look at our tax structure and so forth. And lots of times some people have I'm trying to think of what it's called at the moment. I just went, where they give individuals an ability to lower their taxes or to have a break off their taxes. So they
like TIF.
Exactly. That's okay. Exactly what I was looking for. And I've worked with some of those. In Biddeford, we had locations that were TIFs, and so many years you weren't paying taxes. Well, I think we need to restructure that. And because I think because if we're presenting them with trained, you know, individuals, why, if we give them a TIF, do it over a period of time where it's not 100%. It could be 25, 50, 75, 100, whatever it is, it entices them to say, gee, initially I can have my investment, and in the, I might get 100% for the first year, but next year I have to pay, you know, 25 or 50% of my taxes. And you look at the region, you look at the investment, you look at the impact, and then you make a determination. Nothing is black and white. You know, and you have to project what it's going to do.
This last ballot, we had the majority of the questions were about taxes and about money going out, and about people really wanting to keep more of their money. I wanted to ask you what you thought both about Tabor or something like Tabor, as well as what you think about the still being fought sales tax issue.
Well, first of all, on the Tabor issue, I didn't like Tabor. The concept of us working at trying to fine-tune how much money we increase our budgets by is a great idea. But when you're running your own city or you're running your state, I felt Tabor was saying, I don't trust you. I'm going to vote for you, but I don't trust you. And so I want to put a noose around your neck and so choke, because it's not going to be easy for us to even breathe or do something that's really necessary. I think we need to be more sensitive to the people that we're electing. I think we, local people, and I'm telling you, I keep going back to local. I mean, the people of the community are the people who should be really getting involved in this whole process. Tabor, I voted against it. I have no problem saying that, because I think it created too much restrictions. I think we need to be developing something within our own state to say, when we release money, it doesn't stay that way forever. There's no evaluation. There's no looking at how effective that money is. And we have some old money that's been going to lots of places for a long time, everywhere throughout the state. Should that still be done? No, probably. Maybe yes. But we need to look at it. And when you're an outsider, and I am an outsider, you can only get so much information, and the information you have looks like things aren't good. And we need to reevaluate how we're doing it. That's why I said I don't have any problem asking someone to step up to the plate. Because if you don't like it, well, then you better reconsider what you're doing. Because it's not your money. It's our money. And we, the people of the state of Maine, need to have it being used better. We all do our budgets. We know when, gee, we can't do that anymore. And maybe I bought a car every 2 years or every 3 years I turn my car around. I don't. I have a car that's, you know, it's going to be 10 years old here. But some people do that. But when times are tough, they said, you know what, I can get a few more years out of my car. Well, we don't do that with state money. We get to the point where we're in a crunch like we are again and again and again. And we say, okay, we're going to cut across the board. Well, if I said we're going to cut across the board in my own budget, there are some areas that might be medical. and I might need my medicine. And I'll say, gee, I'm not going to pay for 10% of my medicine. You can't do across the board. You need the impact of who are we injuring? How effective is this going to be? At the same time, how much of some of those areas we've been issuing money, they really could go without the money, without us creating a future major deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now, the sales tax. Watch the sales tax during the previous administration, which was higher. Just plain sales tax. Not reallocated and say sales tax when you're talking about just taxes anyways. I'm tired of playing gimmicks. You know, we're not going to do property taxes. We'll just call it something else, and we'll go get money someplace else. And we'll now we have a new pool of money. Well, a new pool of money, and they say, this is made to direct to tourists, to people that are visiting us. And that's how I look at the sales tax. But at one time, the sales tax was higher. We thought it was going to have a negative impact. It was a straight sales tax, didn't have all the gimmicks where it went to tourism and everything else in the world. And we were surviving, and we didn't lose. Even in the southern part of the state, when they could have gone to New Hampshire, we didn't have a negative impact. We fought it, we complained about it, but when the information came down, we're actually taking in more sales tax. So if I had done anything, I would have probably increased what we exist right now by, instead of 5%, it might have gone to 5.5 or even 6, because I already knew what happened in the past, okay? Mm-hmm. And everyone benefited from the sales tax, but at the same time, people didn't realize the impact. We didn't put another 7% luxury thing here. And I have a problem with all of that when people get desperate and say, well, if we do 2 here, we'll get this much, and we do 5% someplace else, and we get another dollar amount, and we pool it all together, and look at all the money we have. But those are all guesstimates. Right now, we already know what we were getting on sales tax with basic what the economy was doing with us already, what people were buying and what they were paying taxes on, and what they were doing for luxuries where, sales tax was on there. We already had a sense of quantity. You know, it's easier to measure. Now they've gone and put this fictitious thing out there saying we're going to get this much revenue. Well, obviously they're miscalculating the revenue because we just got back more information. We got another $200 million shortfall. And they're going to be, decreeing where we're going to do some more cuts. Well, there's something wrong with that. And even as a layperson, and in me, I'm a finance person. That's my background. I go, when you're doing our proposals and budgets, you need to be, you're not going to be accurate. It's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to use numbers. You got to look at history and say, if we're putting all these sales tax out there on all of these items, is that going to increase it? Are people really going to buy it? Are we going to get that much for it? I don't think that was the best thing in the world. Okay? It's just like the excise tax on vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
It did get voted down, but it was like half a plan. We're going to do this, but I don't know how we're going to make it up. And those people who can afford big vehicles are going to get a tax break. And the rest of us are going to pick up the difference, okay, including that person, but they're not going to pay excise tax, but they'll pay a little more money someplace else. And I went, that didn't even logically make any sense to me. So I was happy that got voted down.
I think we all were.
That was kind of like, were you testing us to see if we were asleep?
What do you think about Dirigo?
Well, when it first came out, I spent more time evaluating it. As at that time, I was mayor of the city of Biddeford.
Mm-hmm.
And as a sideline, because it only paid $10,000, so, and it's a full-time position. And so I did a lot of contracting. Mm-hmm. I did people's books. Give me your key, I'll be there whenever. Could be late at night, whatever. So these customers of mine said, Donna, let's evaluate Dirigo. They were small companies,
mm-hmm.
50 or less. Perfect. They said, hey, there's money there. I said, let's do this. This might be good. But I just don't say that. I have a tendency to do my homework.
Okay,
let's do pluses and minuses here. When I finished doing it, because you still have to pay 60%. And so when I evaluated it and found, guys, your policy is better and it's cheaper if you just stay with whomever you're with. I said, this is not a good thing. I think the idea of it is good. But fundamentally the funding portion of it and how it really impacts individuals. We have put a lot of people on there who didn't have insurance, but some of it is paid, and it's paid through the state. So I was concerned that we're digging a big hole, and it's sucking water out of everybody else's well, and it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So I have a real concern about that. And they said, well, let's do this gimmick over here, and we'll take this money and we'll put it in Derigo and we'll get people. I think we need people insured. And preventive health is a big thing. And the options and the health care thing that we're looking at, I'm all in favor of. But let's do our homework here. Are we going to do something that looks pretty, sounds pretty, and feels really bad? And that can't happen. We need to look at the funding part. I think the whole process was a great thought. I don't want to diminish that. It's just the funding process and the eligibility and how people fall in it hurts small companies.
So if you're elected governor, would you do anything with Derigo? Would you let it continue? Would you dismantle it? Would you take, what would you do?
I think, you know, because the authority of the governor is in our, in like automatically things are gone, I think we totally need to reorganize ourselves and look at the funding sources. We also need to bring our the individuals who are participating in the process of developing it. I want to know what their goals are.
Okay.
What are they? Why are you wanting it to be established this way? How did we get the funding sources to be that way? I think you need to look at that and revamp the whole thing. Because as I said, I want to emphasize when I looked at it superficially, what the goal was, what the intent was, I said, well, this is going to work. This could be good. But then when you look at the nuts and bolts of it and the heart of it, you say, whoa, wait a minute. It's a good concept, but I think we were pushing so hard to say we're going to be the first state, we're going to have this insurance, and we're going to take care of everybody, that at the same time we say, how much money is it going to take to do that? And that's not to put a price tag on people. Mm-hmm. People need the health insurance. That's why I wouldn't say we're going to disband it. I think we need to find a better way to support
it. So you would revamp it rather than demolish it and start over?
I would first, before going in and say that's gone, I would pull everybody together and evaluate with the money that we've put in there and whatever money that we're still putting in there that's a continuous source of funds, how can we use that more effectively? And maybe it is in Derigo, and maybe that does go away. But I would not do that until I have all the information.
Okay. I'm going to go back, because we just voted on this too. But Northern Maine and Southern Maine are extremely different in what they need in this area, and that is school consolidation. Mm-hmm. I guess if you live in Portland, it's one thing. If you live in Aroostook, consolidating school districts is not necessarily the best or easiest thing to do to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. I'm wondering, do you have any ideas of things that might work up in Northern Maine for short of consolidation?
I think consolidation can be looked at in two different fashions. First of all, you can't transport kids miles and miles and miles away in a vehicle and expect them to be productive when you finish that. If you're doing that all morning and all afternoon, and then they're supposed to perform some kind of activity at night, like homework, and get back to school the next day, they'll think their life has turned into a bus ride. That's not going to work. Consolidation of administration. When you're looking at superintendent and you focus and you do a plan based on stages where you look at, and I don't care how far a superintendent has to go, a superintendent does not have to be in each school. They have to provide a strong structure. So the repetition of an administration wherever the superintendent is the area it should be looked at. And I think we should stay away from trying to injure our kids' education by transporting them. And you're absolutely right. When you're in the southern part, you know, the The clusters of our cities are tighter, and they have 3,000 people or more, and that works very effectively. And I don't care when you get to a certain point and you start going from Augusta up, Waterville up, you have a different territory. It spreads out. It's just like the state of Maine. We have our narrow portion. People can't live out in the sea. Well, they could live on boats, but we're there, and we're compacted because we're used to being close to New Hampshire, Massachusetts, whatever, and the choices that people make are great choices, but we shouldn't injure them. This one-size-fits-all is not my concept. My concept is that you look at each county and you look at their needs. I think I was clear about economic development. Mm-hmm. Economic development is developing our children. Why would we abuse them? They're our assets for the future. And we're going to, if we were going to consolidate schools, and I think we need to get away from that thought pattern. We need to look at the administration portion of it. And there is no reason why, if we had a strong principal and a strong assistant principal, and depending on their level of ability, high school, middle school, or whatever else, I may take that and have someone which is in within 5 miles where you might have one principal and one assistant principal. But I didn't move the kids.
Right.
I moved
right.
Where the money still needs to go to those kids. They're the ones that we're trying to give them a future. And if we keep putting lines of, we have a principal, an assistant principal, and an administrator, and you go on, and those are the areas that I would be more concerned about, the oversight. I think you need to develop strong ownership by the teachers.
Uh-huh.
And to know that more money is going to go in the school system so they have their supplies, they have the proper books, they have the technology to give those kids every option that they need. Pulling those kids, and in some situations, you might find a larger building that you can put some kids together, but not from miles away, from an area.
Right.
And it may be more economically done. Because the cost savings of a different building and all of that is probably more effective. But I am not for put the kids on the bus and in the morning they drive for an hour and a half and we consolidate them because it's more cost effective. I have a hard time with that stuff because I don't think what you the harm that you're doing, I can't put a price tag on it, but it's happening.
Right.
The rest of the
people
can adjust.
The thing that I never hear anybody talk about is that, as far as I know, and there could be exceptions, but schools in Maine don't have recesses anymore. The kid goes in, and the kid goes from class to class to class, and I'm talking about 12-year-old kids, goes from one class to another class to another class. Granted, they get out of school earlier because they've taken away, some of the recess portion, but I'm not a kid, and I don't think I could do that all day long without a break.
I'd have to look at that because I know in Southern Maine, that there is a time frame that you're out. And even if it's prior to or right after lunch, there is a time frame in the schools in the southern part of Maine. I've never looked into that, so I have no idea.
I only know because we had a kid who was, a relative that lived with us. And that's what he was facing, and he was just one of those kids that it wasn't going to work. Because he was taking recess in the class. We ended up having to homeschool him, but
I have a question, though. I know that kids, during their recess, have the option of taking music. And so some kids never...
Should that be an option?
If they wanted to be tutored and to
it's
not a
class.
It's not, some of them took the opportunity that the music teacher would be available. And so I wanted to do some extra time. Not an actual class.
Okay.
That they would opt to not go to recess. And one or two times a week, I only know this because my granddaughter did this, she said that I opted that she would help me with my lessons and she would help me be better at her instrument, but she did not have a break. She opted to go there, but it wasn't a class. It was just for her.
Okay.
It's like being tutored. It was her free time and she chose what she wanted to do.
Okay.
But we had breaks. And that may not be through the whole state, but I know in the southern part that there is that break.
It's just really got nothing to do with the governorship, I guess. It's just a pet peeve of mine.
Well, it would be interesting to see if the schools have indicated trying to compact more educational time and stretch it out by decreasing that. And I don't know that for a fact, but it's an interesting
right.
It's an interesting idea I need to look at.
Do you know anything about LIRC?
No.
the Land Use Regulatory Commission.
Yes.
Up in northern Maine, it's a big deal. I don't think it's such a big deal in most of southern Maine.
I think it impacts when they're doing comprehensive plan.
Okay.
And some of the larger communities, because they're so compact, they're able to do comprehensive plan and look at land use and look at development. So in northern, because of the widespread open area, it becomes more of a sensitive issue because people go in and they're trying to take blocks of property and develop it.
Well, LIRC does things too, like the regulations that they have out are extremely restrictive in many cases. We've got, and I talk about this in other interviews, one guy who had a summer camp and was literally fined thousands of dollars for moving a rock. Mm-hmm. They have aerial views, I guess, and they line them up and they make sure nothing's moved, that sort of thing. So it becomes sort of a tyrannical thing, and feelings in northern Maine run pretty high about, you know, about it. And very few people are actually in favor of keeping them. In fact, last year there was a move by, I think it was sponsored by Henry Joy, to actually make Maine a county form of government as opposed to
a state form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, we're back to one of our first comments. Why was something developed? What was its purpose? Mm-hmm. And sometimes something takes on a life of its own. And we're back to that territorial thing, mm-hmm. that I'm really, like, super sensitive to. I'm not focused on that all my attention's going to be here. My focus has always been, and I think my successes in my lifetime has been because I have a wider focus. Here's a perfect example. If this is creating conflict in areas that are super sensitive, and these are the people in that area, mm-hmm. When I earlier said, what are the people willing to give up? What are their restrictions? The laws of the state wasn't made for me to penalize you. The laws in the state was for me to address what your needs are. And if we've gone beyond those needs, then we need to look at that, okay? We love our resources. We don't want to abuse our resources. But there is development in different areas that already exist. So it's no different than in some places I've had conversations about historical locations. You can't change a window unless you go through all of this. Well, what exactly is the purpose of the historical zone and the historical houses? And who is it impacting? What about the people who own the property? Same thing. Can't change a single window, but in the meantime, I'm losing lots of money because energy efficiency. It's that same kind of scenario. There's lots of things in different parts of the state, and they're all equally important because they impact the people that live there. And this is this land use is exactly that same thing. Is it doing what it's supposed to do? Or if we change, that needs to change. Laws were made by people. And then all of a sudden, some people say, you can't change it. That's my big thing with a lot of people who say, Donna, you're not going to make it because you're fighting against the system. And I said, what is that supposed to mean? No, the system's in place. I said, who made the system? It didn't fall from the sky and land here and say, well, it's here permanently. It was made by people and people who addressed the situations at the time. Do we just revamp everything and say, it's gone, clean slate, start all over again? No. What was the purpose? Is it still doing that? In some situations, I have conversations with people and say, you know, we haven't changed it, and this is what it was made for, and this is where we are, and we're not doing what it was established for. And they say, well, I didn't realize that. So somewhere along the line, someone didn't like it and changed it, but it didn't make it law, just changed it.
Right.
And it fit that time frame, and it doesn't fit anymore. And so the state of Maine is so seated in things that happen, must continue to happen, over and over and repeatedly. And because of my sensitivity and people that I know throughout the whole state, it's different but the same. So when people say we have a northern part and a southern part of the state and they don't work together, well, you know what? We work as a whole. And every part is like a wheel in a machine. You don't work the same way as this other wheel in the southern part of Maine, but it doesn't mean that the importance of some of the regulations need to be changed. And you know, we're back to also, one size doesn't fit all, okay? And it changed, so we need to reevaluate that. And at times, people can't just complain. We've got to roll up our sleeves. And we don't fight against, sometimes we have them you know, people goes them and us. I want to say, who's the them and us? I believe it's just we. But I'd like to have your opinion, and I'd like to have their opinion, and why are you butting heads? What exactly is your goal, and what's their goal? And there may be some similarities. There's a lot of differences, and yes, let's address them. And, but I think that's why we need to look at the differences and change those things. And that falls in the land use, that falls in the school consolidation, falls in every subject. People just say, this is it. And then they walk off. I said, what a... Where did that come from? What do you mean, this is it? I know working with various people, we all have different personalities. So you and I are not the same. But does that mean that we can't work together?
Absolutely not.
And you're going to have an opinion, I'm going to have an opinion, and we're going to conflict. But I agree that we're going to disagree. But maybe there's something that we're both willing to support, which makes it better. And that's all of these regulatory things. The law was made by people, and I don't care how many times people say stop stirring up the, you know, the pot. I'm going to stir it up, and if I can really stir it up, then I'm going to keep stirring, because I think that's how at the end we're going to end up with the best situation, and the state can start moving forward.
Great. I can't imagine a better ending. Is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't, or that you'd like to say before we...
No, I think one of the things I just want to clarify, I'm a clean election candidate, mm-hmm. because I didn't want any special interest groups.
Okay.
I look at, the only interest I have is all the people of the state of Maine. I'm looking for 4,000 people to spend $15 to elect the next governor.
And how do they do that?
They go on my website, www.dion2010.com, and they can $10 for seed money, $5 to the Clean Election Fund, and I can be unattached to any special interest groups, large organizations, any PAC. My interest will be just the people of the state of Maine.
Great. Thank you very much, Don. It's been great talking to you. I hope we do it again.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
All right.